You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Staff at a Pacific college in Auckland in the process of being liquidated, calling out for help after its abrupt closure. The Best Pacific Institute of Education had several campuses in Auckland but ran into financial trouble when its funding was cut last month. It went into liquidation last week, displacing 1,200 students who had been advised to complete their studies at Manukau Institute of Technology. Kathy Livermore, the head of dance at the Institute's performing arts outfit, told Joel Thomas that the end of BEST goes against everything it's trying to achieve.
I guess what's heartbreaking is we've seen the results of this program now. We're just starting to see it on the floor, and in our first years and our second years, this brand new program that is absolutely stunning. Truly, like, I've trained in this country and I've taught in so many institutions in this country, and I've not seen something that not only uplifts the professional practice and meets those standards that are going on in institutions around the country, but then to have all the cultural layers and perspectives and the leadership that are in these young people, and seeing all of this come to fruition and be this shining light that will be going out, and not just into our industry, because it's not a closed industry. Our industry is the public. So it's also going out into communities and the whole, you know, all our, of our audiences around the country, and to see all of this promise just bubbling away and then to just have it ripped down because of, you know, the company that stood over us falling apart and crumbling. It's just, it's surreal, because all we're seeing is strength and possibility here within our ground and our area at PIPA. But, you know, these other forces have come in and just killed it and squashed it. And so, you know, we are sitting heartbroken, really, because, I mean, I've invested my heart and soul into writing and developing the content of this program to give life to all of this possibility. And now we're seeing it, and it truly is shining in our students, you know. They're coming in and just being transformed, their whole sense of self, their sense of what they can offer the world, their confidence, their knowledge, and their confidence to access knowledge that they haven't yet come into understanding. You know, and we're talking academic theory and all these sort of mainstream institutions provide. And we're seeing these young people just realize the world is their oyster, and they can access all of it, and they're capable, more than capable, of accessing all of it and then taking it further creatively, and what they can offer back out from this, and what they have to share from even within themselves and their own stories. Like, yeah, I just can't go on enough. And it's truly not biased. It's as a professional, and seeing, you know, across the institutions around this country, what these young people are enabled to grow into is just profound. It really is. And so to see, again, not just our industry, the performing arts industry, lose all of that potential, but to see New Zealand lose that potential to have these amazing artists and creatives reflecting back at them who we are as New Zealanders, really, people just don't understand yet what is being lost. You know, it might seem like a little performing arts program, but actually the impact that it has the potential to have, and our young people have the skills and abilities to have that impact, to see the ground from which they were growing just ripped out from underneath them is just devastating.
Yeah, you know? And it doesn't seem to make sense from, like, a government perspective either, because there's sort of been, like, initiatives like Creative New Zealand, or, like, so even the Film Commission or Script to Screen, or, like, trying to encourage Pacific voices and Pacific storytelling in New Zealand sort of creative content. So it doesn't, like, has there been any sort of reach out from any of these organizations or from government sort of institutes trying to save or support some people?
Well, so it's, yes and no. So we've definitely had support letters from individuals within Creative New Zealand. We've had, you know, within 2 days, we had over 55 letters from both organisations, institutions, as well as leading practitioners from all around the country, you know, coming in with a very strong voice and a very clear perspective of you cannot let this place go down. You cannot let us lose PIPA, because we understand, you know, everyone understanding what a... it's a spring, you know, it's a puna of possibility to grow exactly what people are wanting to grow. And these were my arguments with TEC and NZQA when we met with them. And I said to them, you know, earlier this year I was presenting on PIPA at a conference on Pacific education, and I was afterward approached by numerous people saying, oh my gosh, what you are doing at PIPA is just profound, and this is exactly the answers that we are looking for within, you know, the Ministry of Education, within TEC, within NZQA. Everyone is calling out to find solutions for our Pacific and Māori students or our Polynesian students to how to uffy them within their pathway to their success and through education. And we're doing it. And we've found the balance. We've found and understand what is required to create around them as well as within them to light up within them, because they've already got it in them. It's about lighting it up and creating those reflections around them so that they can believe in the possibility and their success and have the confidence, therefore, to go out and grab on and learn what they need to learn to keep moving towards their dreams and visions of success. You know, and I said this to TEC, so you're reflecting at us earlier this year that we are a leading light in this and we should be writing masters on this and capturing all of this, and people need to come in and research what we're doing here. And then now, 6 months later, you're letting it fall into the ashes. I don't understand it. It seems so bizarre. You know, we've been writing letters to Jacinda Ardern and just trying to say to people, hang on a minute, this is what you're asking for and it's right here and you're about to let it disappear. Why? How can you? This just seems absolutely absurd and backwards. And while you're all sitting in your offices and, you know, proposing all these visions, get behind and on the ground and back where it's actually happening, you know, and appreciate that and realize that, you know, PIPA, like within the company, within the Best Pacific company, we had one of the highest rates of retaining our students and getting them through. We were one of the leading departments in that company. So, you know, through no fault of our own, and our track record is exemplary. So through no fault of our own, except for being caught within the currents of the larger company and their bad behavior and bad service over the years, we're being sucked down with it. But we are being told that we are leading the way in exactly where you want to go with education. So I guess that's the tricky point we're sitting in. And it's not that people aren't recognizing that, but I guess the bureaucracy of actually taking action, you know, it slows everything down. And unfortunately, the timing of it all happening the end of the year, right before Christmas, and trying to get any quick results just seems so difficult and laborsome that we're just, yeah, we're stuck. And we're like, come on, someone step in. We're ready to move. We are ready to go. We can keep this thing going. We have kids enrolled for next year, you know, who suddenly have put all their eggs in this basket and been to other auditions and chose to come to PIPA, and now suddenly where do they go? And we're like, we need to move quickly in order to keep our community strong, or otherwise people are just going to drift off, because what hope do they have in holding on to this waka that seems to be sinking, you know? So that's what we've said to NZQA, and we've said that and we've communicating to potential buyers and all that sort of thing. But come on, people, you know, let's move quick. We can't rest on our laurels on this one. We've got to get going and go with the inspiration and the possibility.
So you think the only sort of way to sort of keep people going is if another company comes and invests in the organization?
Yeah. Yeah, we need another education provider to basically step in and buy, because now the program that I wrote now belongs to a liquidator. Mm. You know, the program that we collectively wrote that comes from our staff, you know, in the world of business and law, now belongs to these people who don't care about it. They don't care about the quality of the intellectual property that's within that document. They just see it as a monetary thing to get some return on the debts that they're owed. And that's so, you know, we're sort of having to deal with that reality as well, and just being trying to give buyers the opportunity to see, well, a lot of people see the potential, but to figure, you know, their own way through those business transactions and how to make possible, because also we're a performing arts program, so we need specific resources in terms of buildings, dance studios, that sort of thing, so that, you know, we can run the program. So, and again, you know, liquidators who are trying to get the most money for their returns to cover debts are obviously being very hard-nosed about actually allowing this program to be sold. So, again, all these things that are completely out of the hands of us staff who have carried and built this program, and the students, you know, whose very lives are invested in this program, and the families that have supported our students and the community, all of us who have invested have no power around that table to be heard. And so, again, you know, our lovely capitalist system that enables all of this separation and dislocation between those that are actually doing and those that are making decisions is failing us. You know, and failing our young people again. And it's just frustrating to be caught in that, knowing only too well. You know, I get to look into their faces every day. I see the transformation in their being, in their ahua, in their wairua, you know, in their thinking, in their hinengaroan, and then in their bodies and how they express themselves. And to see all of that and not get to translate that into those circles, you know, or have them actually come in and visit. You know, no one's come in to actually see and experience really what we're talking about. And that was another thing, you know, I said to TEC, I said, you know, this document that you call intellectual property is living. Culture is living. Education is not something that sits on a piece of paper. It is something that lives within a person. It lives around that person. Education, culture, all these concepts that they like to talk about rather than activate. You know, we often talk about that here. It's about how we activate our cultures. It's not something you just say. It is something that you breathe out of you from your inside. It is the energy you carry yourself through the world with. It is that which you make your decisions with that pulses through you. It's the memories you carry in your blood and your bones that come out in those creative moments that you don't even understand where that movement came from or where that line just came out of. That is culture, you know, and education is a living system that feeds that life force, you know, and it's... it's how do we re-educate ourselves, really? How do we re-educate ourselves within our bureaucracies to start to realign and remember, actually, what it is that we're about as humans? And education is about growing humanity, not about growing profit.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.